Good afternoon, brethren. We know how excited Phil is for this message. He already wanted to close the service. Well, it's a beautiful day outside after last week. I'm sure if you had told me last week that we'd have sunny and 60 degrees when it was snowing, we thought you were crazy, but that's Tennessee weather for you. I want to start off my sermon today with an article. An article I found on newschannel9.com, and it will set the stage for where I want to go today. It was written on December 11th, 2015, and I think it will have an impact on you. It's titled, Stumbling from the Fog. Stumbling from the Fog. It's kind of lengthy, so bear with me here at the start. It says, 25 years ago, death was hidden in the fog on Interstate 75 near Calhoun, Tennessee. On the morning of December 11th, 1990, 12 people were killed, 42 people were injured when dense fog formed within just a couple of hours just north of Exit 36 Bridge on I-75. Then Bradley County Deputy Bill Dyer was dispatched on a call about a wreck on the interstate. He traveled to the Bradley-McMinn County border and could not find one. He did encounter thick, heavy fog. Fog so thick he said you could move it with your hand. Dyer had to actually travel into McMinn County out of his jurisdiction to turn around and come back into Bradley County. At the exit 36 off-ramp, he saw a sight that would change his life forever. A man stumbled out of the fog towards my police cruiser, he remembered. His face was bloody and he was about to collapse. As I got out to help him, I started hearing the sounds of metal crunching, just one right after the other. It was coming from the north of coming north from the bridge over the freeway, but I couldn't see anything. I stabilized the victim and started running towards the sounds I was hearing. And then he says, I heard the screams. 99 vehicles, cars, pickups, 18-wheelers, all plowing into each other within seconds. Most of the wrecks were in the southbound lanes, but one part of the accident scene was on the northbound side, all of them hidden in the fog. Dyer, by all accounts, the first law enforcement officer on the scene, immediately radioed for backup and medical ambulances. He also sent out a desperate plea to get the interstate shut down immediately northbound and southbound, but he emphasized southbound. That's where the most serious wrecks were. Becky Isbell was in one of those accidents. She was able to stop in time. Her instincts told her to get out of the car quickly, and it was a good thing she did. A car that could not stop in time sideswiped her vehicle and skidded into the back of a wrecked 18-wheeler. All of a sudden, another 18-wheeler, tires squealing, slams into the back of the car, and the two people in that car died. All of this right in front of her. Right before the wreck happened, the people in the car were okay, she remembered. And then after the truck hits them, the realization that they were not going to be okay. Cleanup took a couple of days, the deceased removed, the injured rushed to hospitals, the tangled metal and debris hauled away. A huge section of the interstate had to be completely rebuilt from the ground up. Soon afterward, the Tennessee Department of Transportation installed a fog detection system that once activated alerted drivers with warning signs and flashing lights and lowered speed limits. The instances of crashes in northern Bradley County and McMinn County dramatically decreased over the years as drivers paid attention to the warnings. The detection system operates to this day. This podium is so much smaller than Rome. Now that I've been there, it is so true. Operates to this day and was recently modified with high-definition swivel cameras that can rotate 360 degrees with zoom capabilities. Even now, whenever I drive in fog, says Becky Isbell, I keep thinking to myself, people, please slow down. Please slow down. They just don't know what might be right up in front of them, what they can't stop for. The I-75's fog zone accident still ranks as the worst traffic accident in Tennessee history. The federal government ranks in the top five worst traffic accidents of all time. Those drivers weren't expecting their lives to change, Bill Dyer says. I wasn't expecting my life to change. The fog put us in a circumstance where all of our lives changed. Wow. You know, I was reading through various articles in preparation for this sermon, and I couldn't even begin to fathom what that scene looked like. I was born just 9 months before this, I guess, so I wouldn't have been driving. But it's a route that I go all the time, a route I've driven many times over the years, right up to Knoxville. It had to be a terrifying scene. It had to be awful. If you like a title for my sermon today, my title is Don't Enter the Fog. Don't enter the fog. You know, as I was reading through this article, as well as many others, I found many spiritual parallels, but I had to narrow it down. Something to focus on for this message. And that is, are your eyes focused on God? Do you allow your vision to be blurred or your eyes to be spiritually blinded? Do we enter into the fog? Are we prepared before the fog comes? You know, on December 11th, 1990, many people were going through their usual routines. They didn't have any cares. It was a day-to-day drive. They weren't thinking something big was going to happen that day. But this time was different. This time was life-altering. This time was deadly. You know, is this not the same for us spiritually today? We can get in a routine. We can get in a rut. Not much thought or cares. And those are the days our visions get blurred. We enter into the fog. The ruler of this world, Satan the devil, begins to affect us. He creeps up on us. And if we don't have our detection system turned on and ready, he will slowly blind us. Brethren, when Satan blinds our vision, it can be life-altering. It can be deadly. I have 3 points for my split sermon today. 3 points that we can learn from the fog accident of 1990. 3 lessons I think we can take and use in our daily lives. I think I could have had more, but I tried to narrow it down so Brian would have a little bit of time to speak today. Point number one, we must have a clear vision towards God each day and the future he has in store for us and not allow it to become foggy. I know that was really long, so I'm going to read it again. We must have a clear vision towards God each day and the future he has in store for us and not allow it to become foggy. You know, we say often in our church to one another, each one of us has probably said it at one time or another, God has opened my eyes to the truth. And he has. And that's a huge blessing. That's a step in the process. But do we focus on him every day? Do we look to him for answers? Do we seek God when we rise up and when we lie down? Do we make sure our eyes are staying open to God's truth? God has opened our eyes to see him more clearly, but it is on us, brethren. It is on us to make sure our day-to-day vision is not getting worse. We must choose to focus on our Lord. Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. Short verse, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, last week, we obviously didn't have church here. We had the snow. And we went over, me, Kayla, and Della went over to my parents' house for a little Bible study. And this was the verse that my dad brought out that he wanted to go over. And at the time, I was thinking about the topic I wanted to go into, and I had an idea. And I thought, there it is. There's my verse. I don't know if my dad wants to use it later. Probably does, but there's my verse, and I'm going to steal it. Because there's a huge message built into it. A huge message built into one small verse right there, and that is that there will be a time when people will seek the Lord and he will not be found. I can't imagine that. You know, I can't really sit here and think about somebody truly trying to seek God and not finding him. You know, I feel Christ refers to these people in the Gospels when he says, I did not know you. They saw it. They said, we performed miracles in your name. We prayed to you. They saw it, but they didn't find him. How devastating would that be to hear that? Allowing our vision to be blurry even for a moment can be deadly. Yes, God does forgive us. Yes, God is quick to forgive us. But as the parable of the ten virgins shows, blurry vision at the wrong moment can be deadly. Five were in, five were left out. Why? Because they didn't see the vision. And it was just for a moment. Just for a moment. James 4 and verse 7 and 8. It says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, I absolutely love this verse because it is a calling for action on our behalf. God makes a promise to us in this verse that he will be near us if we draw near to him. We must draw near to him first. We must focus on God, and then that promise comes true. He will be near us. It is a choice every single day. What is our focus on that day? You know, I find it kind of not I find it amazing sometimes when we wake up and the first thing we do in the morning is read the Bible or pray or just take some time to think about God. We focus on him first, that those days usually go by pretty smoothly. Why is that? Why is it the days we focus on God first, the day goes by pretty smoothly? It's because we're seeing God clearly. We're starting the day off right, seeing God clearly. And if we see God clearly, he draws near to us. And all of a sudden, we're protected. He gives us the right attitudes. He helps us see the problems we're going through are small in comparison to what he has for us. But what about the exact opposite? What about when we wake up late? We don't take the time to study. We don't take the time to address God in the morning, and those days are usually a struggle. As we all know, the first thing that will happen is you get in your car, you go on the road, and you're behind a slow driver. Always happens. If you're late, you're behind a slow driver. Why? Because Satan sees you didn't focus on God. Satan fills your life with distractions, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits till he can pounce. And when we don't draw near to God, when we don't seek God first, he knows that's the opportunity. He is filling our life constantly with fog, and that fog does not allow us to see God clearly. We didn't take the time to focus on God, and usually he is not our first thought when something goes wrong. Our vision is blurred by the fog. The fog separates us from God, and if we are not careful, it will engulf us. It will surround us completely. Ephesians 4 and verse 25 and 32. 25 through 32. And I'm going to read this from the New English Translation, so you don't have to turn there if you don't like. If you just pay attention. It says, therefore, having laid aside falsehood, each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must steal no longer. Rather, he must labor, doing good with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with the one who has need. You must let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for the building up of the one in need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You must put away every kind of bitterness, anger, wrath, quarreling, and evil, slanderous talk. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You know, I read this translation because I love the way verse 27 is worded. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil one opportunity. You know, sometimes I find myself inching closer to the fog. Sometimes I find myself not exactly running into it, but I'm okay. It's times like these I justify my actions as if God even entered my mind. The truth is, to be the best we can be and truly become righteous and become one with God, we cannot give the enemy an opportunity to separate us. In fact, we shouldn't even get close to it. We must have our detection system prepared and turned on so we don't get blinded by the fog. We don't give Satan one opportunity. Brethren, we have the most powerful detection system in this planet. And that detection system is God's Holy Spirit. And it lives in each one of us. And it gives us direction. It helps us to know right from wrong. It helps us to see how to respond correctly. We must use it. We must use the power of God to live righteously. You know, it should not take a devastating event to start using the gift that God has given us. The fog accident of 1990 proved that detection system was necessary, and how many lives would have been saved if it was created prior to the event? We'll never know that. We will never know that, but what we should learn from that is to not wait until it's too late to use God's Holy Spirit to see Him more clearly. Don't wait to turn on your detection system. Don't wait to listen to it. Heed the warning. You know, kind of the second part of that first point was God also wants us to set our sights on the future He has in store for us. Set our sights on the kingdom of God and the plan He has for us. You know, what does God tell us to seek first? He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's found in Matthew 6:33. We all know that. It is important to focus on things that are in the future. Why? Because realizing the life we are living now is just a mere speck of what God has in store for us. God has given us a vision throughout the Bible. He wants us to be a part of His family and give us more than we could ever imagine. Just stop and think about that. Stop and think about what God has in store for you, what He is preparing as we speak. I cannot come up with anything in this present age that's worth throwing that opportunity away for. I hope you can't either. God gives us this hope because He wants us to understand that nothing today should separate us from that vision. He wants us to focus on the future and make it our entire desire to be a part of His family. When we are focused on God's kingdom, everything else seems small and minor. We are less enticed to enter the fog because we are focused on the reward God has for us. We are focused on making it to be a part of God's kingdom, and the fog of day-to-day life does not separate us from that clear vision. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Brethren, the path is narrow. God has given us a narrow path. It's straight to Him. But we must keep our eyes locked on Him. We can't see this around us. We can't allow the world to affect us because it's constantly around us. We cannot allow our vision to become blurry. We must look to God and Jesus Christ, and we will enter through that narrow gate. Because when we seek God, when we focus on Him each day, He will lead us. He will lead us around or possibly through the fog. Point number two, when we find ourselves caught in the fog, we must use our instincts to see and not become blind. I'll say that again. When we find ourselves caught in the fog, we must use our instincts to see and not become blind. You know, in the article I read at the beginning, there's a little bit about Becky Isbell. I mentioned Becky Isbell, and I'm going to read that again. Becky Isbell was in one of those accidents. She was able to stop in time. Her instincts told her to get out of the car quickly, and it was a good thing she did. A car that could not stop in time sideswiped her vehicle and skidded into the back of a wrecked 18-wheeler. All of a sudden, another 18-wheeler, tire squealing, slams into the back of the car. The two people in that car died. You know, Becky was quick to think. Becky was quick to react. Some might say she was stupid to get out of her car when they're in the fog where no one can see. That's your only protection, you would think. But Becky made a wise decision. You know, sometimes in life we slip up. We backtrack or get lackadaisical. We sin. And we find ourselves completely surrounded by fog. We may not be hurting quite yet, but it's obvious something is not right. We realize at this time there needs to be a change. My vision has become blurred. At this time, unfortunately, you are in the midst of the fog, and we all have been there. But what we can't do is dwell there. What we can't do is just sit back and watch. We can't allow the fog to change us. Brethren, we know who dwells in the darkness. We know who dwells in the fog. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is a roaring lion, and he lurks in the fog. He waits till you get stuck, till you don't know what to do. He waits for you to turn off your detection system. He waits for you to turn that detection system off and go down a road you shouldn't. However, even in situations like this, our God is amazing. Our God gives us vision despite the fog. We must take that vision, those instincts, and remove ourselves from the situation the first time. 1 John 1 and verse 6. 1 John 1, verse 6, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it quickly. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, Becky removed herself from the situation. She thought, something is not right and I have to get out of here. This is only going to get worse and I'm going to end up hurt. If Becky wouldn't have thought so quickly, if she didn't pay attention to what was going on around her, if she didn't listen to her instincts, she too would have been hurt or killed that day. But she didn't. She left her car, she left her belongings, and she ran. God gives us the same insight when we are in trouble, and all He wants us to do is turn to Him and run. To realize the path we are going on is not good. It is foggy and it will lead to death. But once again, it is our job to heed that warning. To realize the path we are on and run the opposite way from it. Brethren, our efforts should keep us away from the fog. But sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we find ourselves in this situation. God has given you the tools. God has given you, each one of us, the tools. Trust in Him. Trust in Him to clear the vision before it is too late. Pray to Him and He will provide direction. He'll come through. He always will. And beyond that, He will see His child turn to Him amidst a trial, amidst a difficult situation, and that makes God proud. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Brethren, God wants to be with us. God wants to heal us. God wants to forgive us. But we must take that step forward. Or backwards in this sense. And examine where we're at and use our instincts to get out. 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is there for you. God is there for you. Trust in Him. Pray to Him and He will give you direction. Point number three, my final point. Our clear vision can positively affect others and potentially help them see clearly before or in the fog. I'll repeat that again. Our clear vision can positively affect others and potentially help them see clearly before or in the fog. Another article I read on the Times Free Press titled Echoes from the Fog, breaking into thought, it says, crashes soon began on the northbound side, where Chattanooga resident Chris DeBolt, 38 at the time, was heading to Knoxville on a sales call. In a recent interview, DeBolt said he hit a curtain of fog just south of Route 163 overpass. DeBolt still was going at least 50 miles per hour, aware that a hulking tractor trailer was somewhere behind him. When he saw a man appear in the middle of the road, waving frantically for him to pull over, DeBolt veered left before reaching the man and skidded into the median. Fearful that more cars could follow him, he jumped out of his car and looked back at the road. It was then he saw the same tractor trailer at high speed slam into a stopped Toyota Corolla, crushing the Corolla into another tractor rig. He stared at the wreck, realizing he had almost taken the place of that person crushed to death in what was the final collision of the northbound highway's pileups. Brethren, if it wasn't for this man risking his life in foggy conditions out in the middle of the road, Chris DeBolt would be dead. Chris DeBolt would have been a casualty also. But yet one man used his knowledge. One man used his clear vision to affect others, and he saved Chris's life. Matthew 5 and verse 16. This is my staple verse. I almost say it every time I speak, because I think it's important for our calling. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, our eyes have been opened to God's truth. We have come out of spiritual blindness, and what that means is we have an opportunity to help others. Our job is not complete. We may be seeing clearly. We may be on the narrow path, but let's help the others get on that narrow path. God has called us to make an impact. Are you making an impact? Are you trying your best to help others understand God, or do you shy away from the opportunity to let God's light shine in you? Do I? No, we do not know every situation everyone is going through. But what we do know is God gives us plentiful opportunities to help others, and sometimes those opportunities can mean life or death. And brethren, how wonderful is that, that we, through God, can help someone choose life. We shouldn't sit back. We shouldn't sit in our car allowing others to plow into the vehicles in front of us. We should get out. We should help. We should trust that we are in God's hands. Because we have a vision of a future with God. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Yes, we should do good to everyone in this room. But it says do good to all. It's not about us. It's about what we can give to others. We can make a difference, and we can help people grow towards God. Maybe they will heed your warning. Maybe you can keep them from driving into the fog. Maybe you can keep them from Satan the devil. Maybe you can keep them from death. Brethren, not only should we not enter the fog, but we should give a clear warning to this world. We should be a witness to those around us to also not enter the fog. God does not abide in spiritual darkness. God does not abide where there is spiritual blindness, and neither should we. Keep a clear vision towards our God and seek to help others see that vision. Exodus 4 and verse 12. This is my last verse. Exodus 4 and verse 12. It says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." We are called to action, brethren. We are to go, and God will be with us. Why? Because we seek him every day. Why? We have our detection system up and ready. In summary, Satan seeks to devour us, and definitely can and will if we allow him. But if we keep focused on God, if we fix our eyes on him, Satan cannot and will not touch us. Satan abides in the darkness. Satan abides in the fog. Stay in the light. See clearly. Never enter the fog, and be a witness, a warning to others. And in those situations where you find yourself in the midst of the fog, where we slip up, let us pray to God, and he will provide. He will give us direction. He will give us instincts to escape. But brethren, do it now. We must do this now. We must seek the Lord while he may be found.